Hey, by the way, before we get into some NFL talk, before the show breaking, and I was also wanting to get some thoughts as far as now that we're entering the second week of the Alliance of American Football. But news broke that Colin Kaepernick and Panthers defensive back Eric Reed, they have reached a settlement with their grievance against the NFL. What do you feel like this means moving forward? Is it done as far as Colin Kaepernick with a chance in the NFL or even this Alliance of American Football? What are your thoughts moving forward?
Well, it's going to be interesting. There's obviously also a report out this week that Colin Kaepernick asked for a pretty sizable amount of money to play in the AAF. There have been various reports on the amount. Some of them have been disputed. But I'm hoping this is the end of this. The other thing to keep in mind also is a couple of days ago, Eric Reed signed a 3-year extension with the Carolina Panthers. So I think people were always a little confused, even though he had. Well, still part of the suit. Remember, he did play football for Carolina at one time last year, and again,
Right.
they extended his contract. So, you're already getting the various opinions coming out, Johnny. Did the NFL do this before the trial, et cetera, et cetera? The skeptics are out there. I don't know if we'll ever know the real details about why they decided to come to this decision now. Maybe they just wanted to clean their hands of it. We've certainly seen that happen in a lot of different venues. People settling court cases before they become extremely public and other stuff comes out and so on. So who knows? But hopefully this is the end of it. It would be nice to see if there is a team that is indeed interested in Colin Kaepernick. I think for some people, there's always the speculation on how committed he is to still wanting to play football. So I don't think anyone can determine that unless they sit down and talk with him. I know there last year there were workout tapes out and different things like that of him throwing the football and so on. But as time goes on, and it's funny, this would be Colin Kaepernick's ninth season in the league, 2019. Remember, he was a second-round pick in 2011. Played in the Super Bowl in 2012. So as the years wear on, but I'm a never say never person. I just am until he says he doesn't want to play anymore. I certainly give him the benefit of the doubt, and I don't know if the AAF is what he has in mind, and I don't know again, I don't know the details of. That, why he turned it down, what exactly he turned it down, if it was strictly about the money or there were other things involved and so on. Again, the guesswork will go on and on. But this has been a very ugly story from the get-go. It's painted a bad light in a lot of different ways, and people are putting their own personal spins on it, and times get, as you can tell from social media, at times people get very, very over the top about misunderstanding his message and so on. So hopefully this tamper things down a little, but I don't think so. I don't know what's going to happen next, but I'm sure there's going to be, unfortunately, more backwash that comes out of this as well.
Have you ever verified? I mean, because I don't know, was it 3 years ago, 2 years, whatever it was, but there was, talk out there that there were teams willing to give him a chance, but they weren't. Colin Kaepernick wasn't happy with what they were offering from a financial standpoint. So, based on everything that has come out over the last couple of years, there's been teams out there willing to give him the opportunity, but just not willing to pay him what Colin wants.
Yeah, and that's why I've never, I thought it would be, I'm inclined to think that the NFL just wanted this to go the way. For it to be proven that 32 teams were not interested in signing him and all joined forces. In essence, that's what what the lawsuit was. The league. Are there teams out there that had no interest in it? I'm sure there were. To make that blanket statement and try to prove it in court, I think would be hard to believe unless there's some sort of documentation out there that we don't know about. But yeah, I'm sure there were. I'm sure he took his own stance on situations. We know the Denver thing. They kind of tried to lowball him and so on. And There's a lot of different avenues here, and I think that's added to the confusion. And I think all the drama that has surrounded this, and I'm not even talking about the kneeling down thing, okay, Johnny? I'm talking about just all the does he want to play, does he play? You know, the Packers got tired of Brett Favre doing that every year, remember?
Oh, certainly. And that's why he ended up with two other teams before he eventually retired.
Yeah, people want a commitment, especially in a sport like this. Are you going to be around? The whole, you know, I'm not saying Colin Kaepernick was holding the team hostage, but at times I think Brett Favre almost seemed like he was. You know, should I stay or should I go?
Yeah, my thing always was with the Neil. I mean, if you do anything that automatically, if you're trying to have a conversation, and that's what this was all about, having a conversation, bring awareness. But if what you do all of a sudden cuts off half of an audience, where in the audience that needs to hear your message, if you're talking about change, but if they've closed their ears based on your actions, then maybe you should have thought about doing something else other than kneeling down for the national anthem. But, you know, the hypocrisy of the whole thing is the NFL. I mean, look at how many decades they ignored domestic violence. If nobody was talking about it, then they didn't care. It's almost like, I mean, the NFL, except for monetary things to improve the checking accounts for the owners, there's nothing proactive about the NFL when it comes to issues that are out there. We're talking about a league that for decades have always been, we'll react when all of a sudden it becomes an issue with the fans.
You couldn't have said it better. And, you know, I've said this for a long time, tongue in cheek. But as football people who understand the game, I've always referred, now think about defense for a second, Johnny. I always refer to the NFL as a two-gap league. And what I mean by that is they read and react. We saw a bad hit. All right, we're going to change the rules. Brett Favre didn't get the ball in overtime. We're going to change the rules. People yelling and screaming about this and that, we're going to take a closer look at it. You're absolutely right. Nothing happens until people make loud noise. Nothing happens until you walk into the store and the customer starts screaming at the top of their lungs.
Very well said. Russell Baxter joining us again.
That's what it really has become. I think that's gone even before Roger Goodell was there. So I think that's been like that.
Oh, no. You go back to Pete Rozelle. Yeah. You go back before the merger. I mean, this isn't something that just occurred in the last 20 years. I mean, you can go back when there were two leagues, the AFL and the NFL, mm-hmm. before they ended up merging together in 1970. So this has been going on, like I said, ever since I was born, and it was way before even I was born on this earth. So
yeah. Well, if the fans want something, it's funny. The fans get just about everything they want, except better officiating.
Yeah, that's a good point. We're holding out hope for that one. All right.
Right. We get constant rule changes to benefit the offense, and as you know, as is proven out this year again. By the way, I was having this conversation where I said, you know, it finally occurred to me why the NFL keeps changing rules for the last 40 years. Remember, the first significant rule changes in the NFL to help the passing game was back in 1978. Do you know why they keep changing the rules? Because the defense eventually does catch up.
Good points.
And the defense caught up about the last 6 weeks of the season and in the playoffs this year.
We got the AAF now entering week two, and certainly I think it caught a lot of folks by surprise just how well received it was. Now, can they maintain this? I really think they do. They will, because unlike the XFL almost 20 years ago, the XFL was saying it's a better brand of football, better than the NFL. And it was almost like they were trying to compete for greatness as far as the professional football landscape. This league's not trying to do that. This league is, you know, players that are still looking for opportunities to make it to the NFL. It's like a feeder league, a developmental league, and they're doing exactly what they need to do. They're certainly hyping on the fact of where these individuals played their college ball, and I think that helps when you think about the geographical locations for these eight teams. And then, you know, some of the rule changes, implementing some of these rules that I think the NFL is going to take a strong look at. First one, kickoffs, I think right now. I could see that in 2019. Go ahead and do it. Get rid of the kickoffs and let teams start first and 10 on their 25, especially when there's, since you don't have to have a long commercial break after a touchdown and extra point, and then you don't have to have another one after the kickoff. So I think the fans would love that. And I actually like the onside kick rule. Now that, you know, with the new rule, I mean, what's the success rate of onside kicks? You know, it's nowhere near what it used to be. So let a team start fourth and 12 at their own 28. And if they are able to keep the drive alive, then let it keep on rolling. I like those two rules, and I could easily see the NFL implementing those two rules in the next 5 years.
Well, I think first things will be first is to see them implement it in some form of it. And they'll tweak it a little so it doesn't look like total copycatting.
Right.
Okay? By the way, fortunately for Devin Hester, he's not in the league anymore. Okay?
But even if seriously, the way, you know, just like this past year, with so many kickers now with the ability to kick it through the end zone, even that part doesn't matter anymore.
Oh, no. Let's not forget something about Devin Hester. Devin Hester was one of those guys who took a missed field goal 109 yards back for a touchdown.
Exactly. Good point. But he can still do that. That possibility is still there even with these rule changes we're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're going to give it a try and so on. And listen, if they do change the rules, I'm sure Bill Belichick will have it figured out by about week three as far as how he can take it to his advantage. No, I mean, if the NFL is going to implement some of this stuff, hopefully they'll do it during a preseason and then think about it and so on and take their time with it. But there's no doubt in my mind. And again, spot on. The AAF is not a thing, has not come out and try to be a replacement. I mean, there's so many NFL people involved with it. You know, Bill Polian, you know, right off the top of your head. I used to run into Mike Gottfried every once in a while, the former Pitt coach who worked at ESPN, and I actually did an interview with him once. And he said something to me that stuck in my head for almost 30 years. Any playing time is good playing time, okay? Even the people who struggle in these leagues and so on, these developmental leagues and preseason games, getting on the field is essential. This is a chance for more players to get on the field and maybe resurrect their careers. And how many times do we see these great stories of undrafted free agents or guys who were at the league, or guys who went up to Canada for a couple of years, or guys who were bagging groceries, or guys, you know, we don't have the World League anymore, which I always thought was a huge mistake in a lot of different ways that NFL Europe disappeared. Because for me, John, it was a chance for players to develop. Teams had to send a certain amount of players to each team. And by the way, what's a better place for NFL officials to get some extra work?
Very good points. Russell Baxter joining us. Hey, in 60 seconds, if Kyler Murray is still available, the 5'10 quarterback coming out of Oklahoma, the reigning Heisman Trophy winner, if he's still available and the Patriots are on the board late in the first round, could you see Kyler Murray ending up with the New England Patriots?
I would never say never. I could certainly see that. That would say, let's say, Tom Brady's going to be 42 in August, okay? He said he wants to play till 45. So Bill Belichick would actually still get him on it. And if he's a first-round pick, he'll have a four-year contract or the five-year option. It sounds like the kind of move they could certainly make. I don't think there's any question about it. And as Bill Belichick evolves the game or his game around the modern game, it would certainly make sense and bring him in for a change of pace. The Patriots are just mind-blowing sometimes. When I was doing some reviews this week, it struck me that Cordarrelle Patterson had more, twice as many rushing attempts this year, Johnny, as he had receptions.
Taking advantage of his skill set right there.
Yeah, I mean, that's the Patriots.